your mics? I realize I forgot my wireless. Well, good morning, everyone, again. Glad you can be here this morning. I'm doing my double duty again as drummer while George is recuperating. We keep offering to, like, at least tape the drumstick in your hand or something so you can fill in for us, but we want you to get healed up, so probably should stick with the doctor's recommendation. But yes, glad you're all with us this morning. As usual, a number of announcements here before we get more fully started. One thing to keep in mind, the Jamboree is, of course, coming up. That should be fun, fun, fun. I know we've been doing all sorts of preparations, and I've been roped into all kinds of things. So if you want to see your pastor more awkward than normal, that should be a good opportunity. That'll be Friday, September 21st at 7 p.m. So please keep that in mind on your social calendars. Maybe not quite on your social calendars, but please keep it on your regular calendars. Our annual meeting will be held on September 23rd at 10 a.m. And that day we will only have one worship service at 9. So a little bit different schedule there. But those annual meetings, as much as I know it's not everybody's favorite time, it's usually a good time to do some of the business of the church. There is a correction. It's correct this week, but evidently last week there was a typo in your announcements in the back of your bulletins. The Mille Lacs Homemakers Club meets on the second Wednesday of the month at 11 or noon, not Tuesday. So please follow the information that's on this week's bulletin, not last week's. A lot of these other announcements I think we've seen before. God's Work Our Hands is this morning. I know Joanne said it's a little windy today, so then we have to play it a little bit by ear, but you can either talk to Joanne or just plan to meet at the Reddy Creek Beach parking lot, wherever that is. If you don't know where it is, then ask Joanne, I guess. So, let's see. The other thing is, I kind of didn't give a whole lot of warning about this, but I'm going to be on vacation for a few days this week. I'm going to go visit my mother down in Iowa. So I'm going to be gone probably from this afternoon till about Thursday. And she'll be back in time for the church council meeting on Friday morning. So, because can't miss that either. But so no Romeo's group this week, but the women's group, I'm going to this afternoon try to get the lecture on a CD or something so it can be easily played and you don't need to worry about messing with the computer. And I'll just leave that on my desk. So if you're the women that are there, just go into my office and grab that off the desk. And my desk is fairly clean, because if you haven't looked down the hallway, I just got some new office furniture. So if there's anybody that wants any of the old office furniture that's sitting in the hallway, you can stake your claim to it this morning. If not, I'm sure we'll either put it out front, and it'll probably be gone in a few minutes, or we'll just throw it in the burn pile or something. But take a look at some of that if you're looking to get a few extra odds and ends. Are there any other announcements that we have at this time? Yes.
I have received the pictures for people that did not order a packet from Life Touch, and I will have them on the table in the fellowship hall. Yes, yes. Please choose your picture and check off when you received it.
But they can swap after the fact. Yeah.
If you don't like the one you get.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe there's people you want to trade, and you can have both have dartboards for her or something. One for the other.
All right.
Anything else at this time? We need to share. Oh,
the bricks are in. So
the bricks.
If you ordered a brick and you want to see it, it's under the pew in the office, and they probably won't go in for till after the jamboree, but they'll get in. So
nice.
And I just wanted to do kind of a follow up on the outreach meeting that we had. We're trying to form a group of people that want to do visiting. So we have a few names or people that are interested in doing that. So what we need is if anybody has any suggestions or people that they know who would like to be visited or would like to just receive phone calls on a regular basis, please let myself or Pastor know or Carolyn or Kathy Berlin know those names so that we can get people paired up. We're kind of working on going out as teams or individuals, whatever people want to do. But so we need people to visit too. So.
And then still do have a sign up out there for this community garden idea we've been wrestling about. I know, just an ongoing reminder as well, there is for hymn suggestions and stuff too. That's kind of an open thing if you ever have hymns that you want to hear. And we're going to start putting in the bulletin an asterisk by the hymns that are suggested and that we use, so that you know that we're using your suggestions, because we are pretty much, if not every week, almost every other week, we have one or two that you guys have suggested. So if you want to put more in, I know we're getting to the end of the suggestions, so we can always keep reusing them, but it's always a nice thing if you want to hear a favorite hymn. So I think that's all I have.
Okay, our next song is All of My Life, and this should be very familiar to you. It's a Dakota Road song that we've done, and that Dakota Road has also done. So.
Get back in my dungeon. Skip ahead. I'm just trying to make it. All right. Please rise as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, the one who fashions us, the one who heals us, the one who reforms us again and again. Amen. Let us confess our sin, calling for God's transforming power. Source of all life, we confess that we have not allowed your grace to set us free. We fear that we are not good enough. We hear your word of love freely given to us, yet we expect others to earn it. We turn the church inward rather than moving it outward. Forgive us, stir us, reform us to be a church powered by love, willing to speak for what is right, act for what is just, and seek the healing of your whole creation. Amen. God hears our cry and sends the Spirit to change us and to empower our lives in the world. Our sins are forgiven. God's love is unconditional, and we are raised up as God's people who will always be made new in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we've done this once before. It has kind of a call and response. So I'll sing the verses, but your parts are in the hymnal there.
Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day.
For peace in the world, for the health of the church, for the unity of all. For this holy house, for all who worship and praise,
let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our will and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day.
That we may live out your impassioned response to the hungry and the poor. That we may live out truth and justice and grace.
Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day.
For peace in our hearts, for peace in our homes, for friends and family, for life and for love, for our work and our play.
Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day.
For your Spirit to guide, that you center our lives in the water and the Word, that you nourish our souls with your body and blood.
Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day.
Let us pray. God of promise, you set a bow in the sky to remind us that you will never again forsake your creation. Make us ever mindful of your promise, so that we might honor our covenant with you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our anthem is Our God is Greater, and it's based on a couple different Bible verses. The first one is Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And in Psalm 135:5, I know that the Lord is great, that our God is above all gods. That kind of says it all for this song.
Thank you. unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Our main reading for this morning is from the Book of Genesis, the 6th and 8th and 9th chapters. Our reading begins. The Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out from the earth the human beings I have created, people together with animals and creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord. These are the descendants of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem and Ham and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw that the earth was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Now I am going to destroy them along with the earth. Make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its width, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and put the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For my part, I am going to bring a flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh that is, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, and of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every kind shall come in to you to keep them alive. Also take with you every kind of food that is eaten, and store it up, and it shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent out a raven. And it went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent out the dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the earth. But the dove found no place to set its foot, and it returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took it and brought it into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent out the dove from the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So no one knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent out the dove, and it did not return to him anymore. Then God said to Noah and to his sons after him, As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that you shall never again be shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, This is the sign of the covenant that I make between you and me and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you, an ever-living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A windstorm arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. They were amazed, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Creator, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So I swear that after last Sunday, earlier this week, I was thinking that as we start this new year of readings, as we transition from summer into fall, I was going to find a nice, light, fluffy topic to preach on. Something happy, something completely non-controversial, something lifting up a world filled with blessings. And then I actually bothered to read our reading for this morning. And the Lord saw the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, that every inclination of their thoughts was evil continually, and the Lord was sorry that he made them, and a grief unto his heart. All right. Those are the opening words, right? It doesn't even build up to that, you know? It doesn't, like, smooth it out. It doesn't give a lot of wiggle room. There was evil everywhere on the earth. They were wicked, and the Lord was going to do something about it. You know, in Genesis, you know, even if you took the first five chapters of Genesis, it doesn't really build up to that too much either. You know, it's the creation stories, it's, you know, the drama with Cain and Abel and the murder that was committed. Then there's a long genealogy, and then it's this. Whatever happened, you know, it started off not great, and it just descended from there. And I suppose we do often try to make the flood a fun story, don't we? You know, to help it seem more lighthearted. You know, there are church nurseries all over the country, right, that have Noah and the Ark themes, as if Noah and his family were sailing off on some pleasure cruise, a bunch of cute animals along for the ride, a rainbow shining in the distance. But maybe we shouldn't try so hard, right? Because this is a story that is kind of grim. You know, there is a, I don't know, maybe there's some truth to it, but there's a mythical story of a pastor who was once preaching on Noah and the flood. And she began with a children's sermon, as many pastors do. She asked the kids to imagine themselves on the ark, you know, and it's, you know, started asking the kids, "Well, what do you see?" And the kids are like, "Ooh, I see tigers." And another kid's, "I see birds of all different kinds." Another one says, "Horses, I see horses." And then the pastor asks, "Well, what do you smell?" And of course, there's giggling, right? Because, you know, you get a lot of animals, what is it going to smell like? And they're wondering if they're allowed to say poop in church, you know. But some are, you know, maybe thinking more creatively, more politely, and they think of hay, or maybe smell all that wood and the pitch, maybe the smell of the ocean. And then the preacher asks, "Well, what do you hear?" And one kid says, "Well, I hear lions roaring." Another says, "I hear ducks quacking." Another says, "I hear sheep baaing." And then finally, one precocious young boy pipes up, "I hear yelling." And the pastor asks, "Yelling? Is it Noah's family? Are they arguing? What's going on?" And he says, "No, I hear yelling. I hear all those people floating in the water, yelling and screaming at Noah to let him in the damn boat." You know? Right? Again, I don't know how true that is, but makes for a good story. You know, missing in all those murals on all these church nurseries and all these children's bedrooms of the good and the faithful, with all the animals and the cuteness of the 2x2. What you don't often see are the dead bodies, right, floating in the water. It's a little grim for an otherwise pleasant story. Or perhaps it isn't a pleasant story to begin with. You know, our men's group this week, the Romeos, we talked about the story of Jonah. You know, that's another Bible passage that often sort of gets the Sunday school treatment. And we never, and not to, you know, Sunday school is a great thing, but we often don't break out of that and remember that there's more to the story than just Jonah inside the whale. That in fact, there's a lot more to the story that's very interesting and valuable and an important thing to sort of discuss and reflect upon. I think in the same way we do that with Noah. You know, we take sort of the one cute, you know, predominant image and we focus on that. And maybe that's because we prefer to avoid the unpleasantness. We don't like the idea of God laying waste to the earth. That's maybe a human tendency, right? We want to see the past. We want to see our faith, especially with sort of rose-colored glasses, as if in some way we might be connected to all that unpleasantness. We think of our own tendency to sin. Or maybe we focus on the cute because we don't want to feel connected to that humankind, right? We sort of assume we would be the ones on the boat, right? We would be the chosen ones. We would be the saved. We'd be the ones with a golden ticket, ready for the carnival cruise of a lifetime. We know there is still wickedness on the earth, maybe even a little in us. But we are not that wicked. We may have occasional dark thoughts, sure, but evil is not constantly running through our heads. I mean, those people got what was coming to them, right? And, you know, as is so often the case in the Bible, as much as God looks like sort of the mean one in this story, oftentimes there is sort of hidden in the language of it this idea that people are sort of causing their own punishment. And it's the same thing in this story of Noah and the flood. The same root word in the ancient Hebrew for this corruption that the people are corrupting upon the earth is the same root word that's used a couple verses later when God talks about the destruction of the earth, that it's their sins that have brought upon this calamity. And so often that is the case in the Old Testament, that it seems it's less God's actively doing as more just a natural progression to a sinful, broken world. And so perhaps that is another reason why we don't want to focus too much on the punishment side of this passage. We might start to wonder how much our sins might boomerang back on us. But what we lose when we focus only on the cute aspects of the story of Noah and the flood is more than just an honest appraisal of our sinfulness. The greater loss by far is what we fail to learn about God. Because this really isn't the story of Noah and the flood. This is a story of God. Note that Noah never speaks. Even if we were to put in all those passages we skipped over, Noah never speaks. Not even once during the whole story. He does a little bit of a barbecue at the end to offer up a sacrifice to God. And that's when he kind of hoped that the animals were procreating, that there wasn't some poor animal that got, you know, blinked out of existence because Noah wanted to offer up a burnt offering to God. But Noah never speaks. We never get a glimpse of Noah's interior thought process too much. We never really know exactly what he's thinking or feeling. But we do get a glimpse of what God is thinking and feeling. In fact, as much as the passage opens with wickedness, right, what is one of the first things we learn about this as part of this story? That God grieves because of the suffering. Because of the suffering we work on ourselves and on others and on all of creation. God is not impassive to the hurt that we bring into this world. God does not define sin and goodness simply so we follow the rules for the rules' sake. So we show allegiance to God, right? God's not so concerned about that. God cares about us. God cares about creation. God has a deep and abiding love for the world and doesn't want to see it suffer. And perhaps we have a sense in our own lives what that grief might feel like. Maybe we have been in a situation where we see those that we love caught in a spiral of sin and suffering, causing hurt to themselves and others. May we know what it's like to be sitting there, watching all of that pain, so unsure of what to do, what the right move is, suffering and struggling with what the loving answer truly would be in that situation. God loves us, and that means that God is merciful and forgiving on one hand, but God's love also means that God seeks justice when we are the ones hurting other people. And these two aspects of God's love so often come into conflict. And so it is that in this story, God wrestles with God's own self, God's own nature. Which side will win out, the justice side or the forgiving and merciful side? It isn't Noah that changes in this story. It isn't humankind. It won't take long for humanity to rebuild, for humanity to be back up and running and sinning over and over and over. There's not a lot of downtime with the wickedness and the evil thoughts. That certainly hasn't changed even in the last several thousand years. But it is God that changes. No longer will God punish this way. No longer will God bring destruction on this scale again, even if we tend to sow the seeds for that destruction. God will seek another way to work love in the midst of suffering. And so God makes a promise, a covenant. I started to wonder as I was reading all that last chunk, like if I was going in circles, if I'd like skipped over, because it was just the covenant, right, with all flesh. Clearly the author wanted to make it clear what God was doing in that moment. And God sets a bow in the heavens. And that's not just because a rainbow is just a pretty thing to look at, but because it's also meant to be an allusion to a literal bow, right, like bow and arrow kind of bow. And God sets it up at rest. It's even pointing upward, just in case, you know, like someone would stick an arrow in there, it'll shoot off some other direction, not down at earth. God sets away the punishment of this kind. No more will there be a flood, or will God allow a flood to destroy the earth so completely. This is God's promise. No matter how bad we get, God realizes that there has to be another way. And so it's this covenant that will support them for a while, and in a time we know, of course, God sends a son, a final reconciliation between God's love lived out in mercy and God's love lived out in justice. So it is a happy story, right? Maybe it doesn't begin with a happy story. Maybe it's a little rough along the way. Maybe that part is a little bleak, but the ending is not. God's love wins out. No matter how great our sins may be, the love of God is always greater. But maybe when you're planning that nursery or that children's bedroom, maybe find a different Bible story to paint on the walls. Ruth, maybe. We had fun with Ruth this summer. Or maybe the road to Damascus. Or maybe just a lot of fluffy sheep. That's pretty easy. Just take some sponges. Maybe stick with that instead. But there is indeed love in this story. And that love will see us through, even when God might be conflicted about what to do about all the mistakes we make in our journeys of life. Amen.
In our next song, We Believe. We left out the Apostles' Creed this time because this song basically says what we believe.
Broken generation.
Well, let us pray. And please rise as you are able. Freed by God in Christ to live and love and serve, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Gracious God, you call your church to proclaim the love of Christ to a needy world. Embolden us to be your risen body by welcoming strangers and serving our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Creative God, small sprouts and tall trees proclaim your majesty. Give us clear eyes to see nature's beauty and wise minds to protect our home, this earth, from misuse and harm. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sovereign God, you draw order from chaos. Watch over the nations of the world. Bless citizens and leaders who strive toward the beloved community for which you long. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, you give us all that we need. When your children suffer from hunger, poverty, loneliness, persecution, injury, or illness, send generous helpers and companions. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Welcoming God, you set a table before us. Embolden this congregation to seek new ways of inviting others to the feast of all creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Good and gracious God, we lift up before you all those prayers that are near and dear to us, prayers that are on our minds for people in our own congregation that need your help. We pray this day for Teresa Berry, for George and Jerry. We pray for Val's sister Sherry, that you be with all of them as they seek healing and wholeness, that you see them through all the challenges that they may face in this life.
And now, O God, we lift up all those other prayers that are near and dear to us, that are on our hearts and in our minds, and we lift them to you now, either out loud or in silence. Loving God, you bless us with throngs of saints who witness to your compassion. With gratitude, we recall the lives and deeds of those who proclaim loving kindness to a needy world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your wide embrace, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your boundless mercy through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer.
Amen.
Let us pray. God of life, you give us these gifts of the earth, these resources of our life. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done.
Speak to us, Lord, in the breaking of the bread, and make us one with you. All are welcome. Please come.
Feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table. rise as you are able.
Holy and compassionate God, in bread and wine, you give us gifts that form us to be humble and courageous. May your words come to life in our serving and in our witness, that we may speak a living voice of healing and justice to the world. Through Jesus Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. God, creator of all things, speaking reformation into being, Jesus Christ, savior of the world, raising the dead. Holy Spirit, living voice, calling and enlightening the church. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Bulletin insert has